Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, I want to say there's something very weighty, isn't there, about last words. Perhaps for many, there's not the power of mind or the strength of body to say anything significant as life ebbs away. But you do get those scenes, don't you, in movies, in films, in plays, in dramas, perhaps the Shakespeare's, where there are friends and family gathered around, perhaps someone great, and there they are, hanging on every dying gasp, waiting for that final utterance, perhaps anticipating the disclosure of some great truth at this last moment, expecting a revelation perhaps of something profound as they pass from this world into the next. Because of all the words that they have spoken in a life full of speaking, these will be the last words left ringing in the ears of the living. Last words. They're so powerful, potentially, aren't they? And so today, on this Good Friday 2025, I want us to consider the last words, the final words of the greatest man who ever lived, the most influential man across all of history, Jesus Christ. You can see his last words there in John chapter 19, verse 30. In the original language, it is just one word. And John packs it in twice in three verses to make the point. But the question that we've got to ask ourselves today is, what exactly did he mean? I mean, was he just stating the obvious? That his life was over? It was coming to an end? Because, I mean, that's the next words, isn't he? That he then bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And so it could be so easy for us to pass over these parting words. But I want to suggest to you this morning that there is something very profound here. This is the key. Not just to understanding the life of Jesus Christ, but to unlock yours. What was it that was finished upon the cross? I'm not going to be able to plumb the depths of that saying today, but I want to suggest to you three things. Firstly, what was it that was finished upon the cross? Number one, everything that the prophets had predicted. Now, if for no other reason, this fact alone should persuade you today to become a Christian. It is utterly breathtaking that in one man, hundreds of prophecies spoken over centuries of history could find exact fulfillment. From the place of his birth to the precise details of his death, 30 pieces of silver, casting lots for his clothes, that not one of his bones should be broken, that he was pierced. Things that no one could orchestrate. Things spoken before they had even been invented. Impossibly seeming contradictions come together in this moment. Divine and human. Prophet like Moses. Priest in the line of Aaron, according to the line of Melchizedek. King like David. How can it be? In the one man, the lion and the Lamb, the conquering King and the suffering servant. Over and over and over again, all of the biographies of Jesus ring with these phrases, don't they? Just as it is written. To fulfill what was spoken by the prophet so-and-so, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. These phrases occur so many times across the pages of the New Testament that we have become too familiar. We've become immune to their deep and impactful significance, that Christ suffered according to the scriptures. Oh, sinful and wicked people put him to death, to be sure. Driven as they were by jealousy and greed and self-interest and self-protection, some of them just doing their job. But that's just it, isn't it? They had no idea. They were ignorant. They were unknowing. And yet, it was all foreseen. It was all foretold. It was all foreshadowed and foreknown long ago. It was all planned, predicted, promised, prophesied, predetermined, and prearranged. God was carrying out His great plan. And it all came stunningly true that Christ died according to the scriptures. That is an incredible statement. That all of the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. If you ever have any doubts about Christianity, just think for a moment on this. That everything prophesied and predicted was finished. Finished. You see, the argument of the Bible is not just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. In fact, the argument of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is that you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because there are 39 other books written in different places, at different times, by different people, and they all came true over and over and over again in the one man, Jesus. It's incredible. It should blow our minds, shouldn't it? So that's the first one. And then secondly, what was it that was finished upon the cross? Well, everything the law required. Now, this is perhaps even more incredible. You know those scenes, don't you, when someone comes near to death and their whole life flashes before their eyes in a moment. I wonder, as Jesus spoke these words, "It is finished," if something like that happened. His whole life flooded before him, flashed before his eyes in the light of God's holy law. And he could see, even as he's hanging on a cross, with the clearest perception that all of the commandments, all of the prohibitions, the thou shalt nots, all of the instructions, all of the thou shalls, he did. He always loved the Lord his God with all of his strength, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. He always loved his neighbor as himself. He was at every point, in every way, tempted just as we are, and yet without sin. He was obedient to the point of death, even a death on the cross. He fulfilled all righteousness. And a voice came from heaven, didn't it? Not once, but twice. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Everything the law required. All of the commandments, but not just that. Think about what else the law is full of. The temple, the priesthood, the feasts, the offerings, the sacrifices, the rituals, the ceremonies. Because of our sin, we couldn't come in. But at his death, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. The old covenant was over. We could enter. Everything the law required, he embodied. He performed. Christ is the end of the law. The once-for-all sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the perfect life has been lived. None of us could do it. But Jesus Christ got to the end of his life, hanging on a tree, and he looked at all of that, and he said, "It's finished." Everything the law required, finished. The written record that stood against us, finished. He nailed it to the cross. Our condemnation, the thing that condemned us, the law of God, finished. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Everything the law required. And then finally, what was it that was finished upon the cross of Jesus? Everything the Father had given him. In John chapter 17, verse 4, he says that he finished, he accomplished the work, all of the work that God the Father had given him to do. He had fully revealed God the Father to the world. He had truly brought glory to God in everything he had done. His work on earth was finished. He hadn't just lived the perfect life. Now he died the death for sinners. All of the punishment for all humanity, all of the wrong that we've ever done, all of the suffering that sin required, all of the work of atoning for our sin and making up for it, the payment for sin, the justice of God satisfied. You see, in hell, no one says, "It is finished." But as Jesus hung upon the cross, Jesus paid it all. For anyone who put their trust in him. Everything that was needed to save sinners and satisfy God. All that is necessary for a full and complete redemption. He did. Everything the Father had given him to do. All the miracles, all the teaching, all the love and all the compassion of God poured out on humanity. Done. Finished. But you say to me, "Phil, how do we know that's true? How can you be sure that Good Friday really is good? We'll come back on Sunday." You see, his resurrection is not just God bringing him to life again because God wanted him alive. There's a logic to the resurrection. It is proof. Evidence that he never sinned. It is vindication of his righteous life. He couldn't stay in the grave. Death could not hold him down because he never sinned. His resurrection from the grave proves that his work of substitution, standing in our place, was actually accepted by God the Father. So I want to say to you, on this Good Friday 2025, live in the good of Good Friday. Live in the good of Good Friday. You see, what is it that you do when your work is over? You put your feet up and you turn the music up, don't you? You rest and you rejoice. And Good Friday says to good people, stop. You cannot improve on what is finished. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, "Do not pin your rags on the fine linen of Christ's righteousness." Do not lean, if I can put it this way, do not lean on the cobweb of your own performance. Rest in the finished work of Christ. You see, Good Friday says to bad people, come. wash in the fountain of his cleansing blood, and wear the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. Let him take your guilt and your shame. See how much he loved you. You don't need to be this or attain to that to be accepted by the holy God of the universe. And you don't need to punish yourself or do penance for all the wrong that you have done. When your accuser comes, and he will come, when your heart condemns you, and it will, and when your conscience cries out against you for all the wrong that you have done, don't dig up again what God has buried. Don't go fishing over things that Jesus has forgiven. Hear the cry from the cross. It's finished. It's done. Rest and rejoice. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the cross, the mighty cross, that God himself would become such as us, that you would save us at such a cost. We're so amazed, and today we give you praise. Would every day we be changed more and more into your image. Thank you for the power of the cross. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.